Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
Hey, I'm Mark Clifton. Thank you, Dan, for that great introduction. Dan Hurst. I'm Mark Halleck. He's here with me, but
hey.
Dan's not with us today.
We love Dan.
Dan's out doing some big time voiceover work for major corporations.
Important work.
And we're here in Mark's basement pretending like we have a radio show. But Dan will be back with us in the near future. So we're going to try to make it today without Dan. We do have Jeff DeClerc running the board today.
Yep. Jeff's
great.
Over here.
Yep.
He's
Kyle,
our manager today. We're
Kyle
grateful.
Is usually running the board, but I don't know. Kyle.
Somewhere in Texas. I don't know
Kyle's
where he
in
is.
Texas somewhere
yeah, doing
right
something.
Now. So we're here. But anyway, hey, we're going to talk today about a great article by Steve Brigette from the Christian Communicators Worldwide. That's Jim Ellis Group. We really love them. We lean into them a lot. This is a great article on ways you teenagers can contribute to your church's ministry. You know, I was a youth minister back in the day.
You bet. So was I.
Yeah. Well, you there
bet.
You go.
We both did that.
And I had to get my CDL so I could drive the bus. You know, and they knew me at the Pizza Hut because I was always picking up dozens of pizzas. And I unfortunately, that was back in the 80s, a lot of my youth ministry was just driving kids from one event to another event and feeding them.
Yeah.
Right?
And
trying to keep them out of trouble.
Yeah.
And, you know, this idea of just trying to entertain them, no. Mm. We need to engage them. They need to be part of our church.
Amen.
Part of the work. One of the reasons they leave when they get out of high school is that we've just entertained them.
That's right.
And they're just looking for more entertainment.
Yeah.
They never bought into it. They never understood ministry.
Yep.
It never was theirs. They never owned it. So, Mark, help us. Give
this
us some of the ways that Steve says you can. And here's some. Get ready to write these down.
Yes.
Actually, we'll put them in the show notes. But these are some good ways that you can engage teenagers.
Exactly.
Middle schoolers and high schoolers in your church.
That's right. Yep.
Today, now.
There's seven ways we're going to look at. So here's number one. And this is simple. Very effective is greeting people. You can get teenagers in your church serving as greeters. And I'll tell you why you want teenagers serving as greeters.
Why?
Because they're fun.
That's
they have
true.
Energy.
That's true.
They're joyful. They're little, you know. I mean, listen, what kind of greeter do you want in your church? I mean, I don't want you know what I'm saying?
I heard a very well-known pastor one day, very well-known pastor, say that whoever you have greeting people at the front door better look like the people you're trying to reach and communicate. Because if the first person they see at the front door is someone my age, in their 60s, and he's wearing a suit and tie, that impression, that first impression that a visitor has is, this is probably an older church where they dress up.
Mm.
Whereas if the first impression they see is a teenager, that's going to be an unusual impression
for a
visitor.
That's a different impression.
It's going to say, hey, these are young people here.
Yeah.
And if young people are, if they desire this, this is kind of different.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
especially if that family has teenagers.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
That's huge. Yeah.
That's huge.
I mean, I always think about this. I think when people come and visit our church, from the moment they get to the door, I actually want them to experience a taste of who we are as a church. And who we are as a church is we're a church that loves all generations. You know what I mean? And greeting is where it starts. So the ideal for us would be, get one of our older guys who's wearing a suit, but let's get them teamed up with a teenager.
Right.
Maybe a couple little kids.
Right.
Maybe a single guy.
Right.
And get them together working. But what I can tell you is the energy in that bunch is going to come from these teenagers.
Right. I'm not saying you shouldn't have an older guy, obviously.
Yeah.
But if
that
is all you have.
Yes.
And man, put some teenagers
That's
out
right.
there. I agree. Now, what we do at Raytown, where I'm now, I'm working at a replant in Raytown, Missouri, and I love our young replant pastor, Jonathan. He does this. He puts name tags on these teenagers.
Mm.
He puts vests on these teenagers, and he brings a whole bunch of donuts early, so the teenagers get to eat donuts.
Cool. Yeah.
And then he really treats them as though they're important.
Yes.
And he tells them they're important, and they love this. He even gives them some walkie talkies.
No way.
Oh yeah, because they like talk to. Hey, I'm at this door. I'm
you
at
bet,
that door.
You bet, yeah.
And I mean, it's amazing to see how they light up.
They've got a role.
And then the older people love seeing them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, use your teenagers
Dude,
as
that's
greeters.
That's awesome. That's so
give
good.
Give them a name tag. Give them a vest. Give them a walkie-talkie, even if there's no batteries in it. Anyway.
Okay. Here's number two is to help young parents with their children. And so what we're talking here is when you, you know, say you have, and you might be saying, well, we don't have a lot of young parents. Well, when you do, and that young family comes, and you've got a teenager or two, they could be a great encouragement and help with little kiddos in the church.
Right. Here's what you can do. If you've got especially, well, any boys or girls, but let's say you've got some 15, 16, 17-year-old kids, and not every kid should do this, all right? But you know some kids who are pretty good with other kids, who are pretty mature, and you can just say, hey, look, if there's a couple who are in our vestibule and they're carrying on a conversation, and they got a 2-year-old that's just running around, and you can tell mom would like to be in a conversation, but that's a great time for that teenager to go up and just kind of start getting down on the floor, kind of talking to that 2-year-old, so the mom and the dad can just kind of be aware of the kids there, and maybe talk to the children. Let the teenagers sort of talk to the little, because I'll tell you, a 5-year-old, if a 15-year-old boy comes up in church and he talks to this 5-year-old about, you know, you got some pretty good looking shoes on there, man.
Yeah,
where'd you get those basketball shoes?
Right.
Do you like? I mean, you know, first of all, that's going to free the parent up to carry on some one-on-one conversations, and secondly, the little kid's going to feel like, hey, this other kid's interested in me, and you know, every young kid likes to have an older kid talk to them,
and that becomes seriously, man, they look up to that guy. Yep. You know, another last thing I'd say with this is, if after church, if you do have a little playground area, that's a great spot to put some of your teenagers to be hanging out with the kiddos while mom and dad are maybe talking to some friends at the same time.
Now, it is important to say, and Steve brings this up, never, never, never take the kid out of the eyesight of the parent.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm not telling you to go take the kid away.
No.
just telling you, if the parent's engaging in conversation, the kid's kind of running, you know, just go up and start talking to the kid so the parent can have a little more freedom. And you pick a couple of teenagers and say, hey, look, you know, look around, and maybe this is something you could do, you could help.
Yep. Okay, number 3 is to participate eagerly in the main weekly worship gathering. And so again, part of this is thinking through, how can we get our teenagers involved in our worship services, right? So part of it is, here's what I'll tell you, man, if you went to our youth group on Tuesday nights, they're worshiping the Lord. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And so when they come in on Sunday mornings, they bring a passion and they're singing that's really contagious. But more than that, it's like, how can you get kids, these guys involved with the offering or reading scripture?
Absolutely.
Or, like, I know you do that really well at your church.
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, also with children and teenagers, it's really good for the pastor. Maybe don't make it seem like it's always happened, like it becomes so routine, it seems almost like routine. But from time to time, be sure to acknowledge the children and the teenagers who are in your worship service.
Yes.
Just say, hey, glad we're all here today, and glad to have, we've got some good high schoolers here today. Even name them.
Yep.
Glad to have Brent and Carl here. And by the way, Brent, good job last night.
Yes.
For Friday night playing football. We all saw that. Before you start your worship service, whenever you do your greet time, your announcements, you know, mention the kids, mention the teenagers. Let them know that you're aware of them and you're glad they're there.
Yes, absolutely.
And then, obviously, let them take the offering.
Mm.
I mean, seriously, get them up front. Let them take the offering. Let them read scripture. We did this last Sunday. I had an 18-year-old who read scripture. It was impromptu. He did a great job, And it was so impromptu. When he got through reading scripture, people applauded.
Wow.
I'm thinking, what was that about? So I actually videoed. I had it on video. Yeah. So I'm back and watched it. Yeah. And actually, the people who started applauding were some like 80-year-old women.
Is that right?
And I think they were just so excited that an 18-year-old boy was reading
God's
Word. Wanted
to encourage him.
And they wanted to encourage him.
Yeah.
So when these 80-year-old women started applauding, well, then everybody else did. I thought, dude, you're getting applauded for reading scripture. But it was encouraging.
Cool. Yeah.
So it blessed the 80-year-old women to see an 18-year-old kid read scripture, right?
Yes, that's
so
right.
I think them reading scripture is really important. Them taking the offering is important.
Yes.
Some of them could pray in public.
Yep.
We've talked before about how important it is how we pray in public on Sunday morning. So make sure you work with them on that and they understand what that's about.
That's right.
Certainly they can play in the worship team. That often does happen.
Yep.
Certainly they can sing. Don't underestimate their testimony either. You may have some kids who have the ability to really give a good testimony of their salvation experience, or this is really good, a witnessing experience.
Because
some of these teenagers really are witnessing in high school and other places, and if they tell you that story, you can do one of two things. You can say, hey, Brent, would you mind if I shared that with our congregation? And he probably would say no. And you could, or you could say, Brent, would you like to share that with our congregation? Yeah. How you shared your faith?
That's a great idea. That's a great idea. Okay, number four. So let's review, right? Number one is greeting people. So we talk about being greeters. Number two, helping young parents with their children. Number three, participating in the worship gathering. And then number four, Steve says, speak up in Bible studies and prayer meetings.
Mm-hmm. Encourage them to realize you don't have to be a grown up in order to make a commitment, make a comment or raise a question. And really, you want to be careful not to call them out, but maybe even before the meeting or at different times, say, look, I know you've been kind of quiet in our Bible study, but I really would like to know what you have to say. And so I want you to feel free to talk and say anything you want to say.
You know what? Let me just say something to that, because that's exactly right. I think, you know, it's an art to lead a Bible study or a prayer meeting.
And it is.
One of those things I would say is if you are leading it, don't assume everybody knows what's going on and how this works, even if they've been part of it before. Take a few minutes every time and bring everybody up to speed. And that can includes the teenagers. So, hey, if we're having a Bible study, we really value everybody sharing in this group. And so don't be shy. Don't be afraid. We love it. We want you. Whether you're a teenager or whoever, you're giving them freedom on the front end. The same thing is true with praying, is helping people to see, hey, in this prayer meeting, everybody's welcome to pray. If you don't feel comfortable praying aloud, that's okay. These are shorter prayers, so we're not going to pray for 8 minutes, make a little joke out of it.
Right.
But if you don't say those things, guess what? You may have one or two people praying for the whole time.
Yeah,
you
know? We talk about conversational prayer and sentence prayer. We can talk about that on another podcast, but that's a good idea. Again, going back to the church I'm replanting in Raytown, we actually have four or five middle school kids who are very engaged and involved. We meet at 9:30 for prayer. Mm. Just was going to be like the leadership. And our young replant pastor was so wise. He said, well, these kids are coming to do greeting. Let's bring them into the prayer time.
Yeah, that's good.
And so they come into the prayer time, and Halleck, they've been praying out loud, and you hear a 12-14-year-old boy pray that people get saved today, and the Spirit of God will move. You get these 80-year-old men in there, they start getting pretty emotional.
Yes.
I don't think we realize the impact a young person can have when they pray.
Amen.
And an older person hears them pray.
Amen.
And we need to encourage young people and say, look, your prayer can really encourage another generation.
I love that.
Number five.
Okay, number five is give financially.
Yes.
Give financially. Teach, part of this church.
Teach students how to be stewards with their money.
Yeah.
They all have money. Yeah. Some of them don't have a lot, but they've got something usually.
Yep.
They work or they get an allowance or whatever.
That's right.
And begin to teach them how they can participate, not because they have to or they're obligated to, but the joy in giving, the stewardship in giving. I think sometimes we don't start early enough with that.
Absolutely.
And basically, I remember a pastor friend of mine said one time, people own what they pay for, right?
Yeah.
And so you got a student that gives 10% of the money they've worked and earned at Jack in the Box or McDonald's or whatever. Yep. I mean, they're going to have more investment in the church. They're going to feel more like they're a part of it and in the whole missions organization and the worldwide missions program of the church.
Which, by the way, just a real simple thing. If you're pastor of a church, help your young families. This is real simple. Help their children, start a little tithing jar. And for every dollar they get, they put a dime in that tithing jar.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an object lesson ongoingly. The joy of giving, the Jesus is our treasure more than money. But if we're not learning these habits from the time we're young into our teenage years, we shouldn't be shocked when we're pastoring adults who give $20 a year and think that's sacrifice.
And even when you're talking grade school age kids who get money from grandma and grandpa and aunts and uncles at Christmas and birthdays, have a conversation with them about we should give some of this to the Lord's work.
That's right.
This is what we do. Teach them early on, even the $20 that came from grandma for your birthday.
Yes.
And so engage them in not only serving and praying and reading scripture, but even in giving. All right.
Yes.
As a joy.
The joy of giving. And it is a joy. Number six is to serve in less glamorous ways. This is good.
And they're willing to do that.
Yeah.
You know, have them set up chairs and tables.
Yep.
Have them help carry out the trash. Don't be afraid to. In fact, sometimes you'll find, especially some boys, they like hard jobs.
Oh, they love it. Totally.
You got. You, and here's what you can do. And I'm old now, so it happens to me all the time. I'll see a couple of our young teenage boys maybe there at Raytown, and I'll say, "Hey guys, can you help me move this thing? Because I can pick it up and move it. You know, that kind of thing." So help them moving some large stuff, moving some chairs, moving some tables, carrying out the trash, yeah. doing those kinds of things is really important to do. And so and some of the less glamorous jobs, you'd be surprised they don't mind doing it.
And it's how we're going to raise up the next generation of deacons. I mean, that's the other thing. It's like cast a vision. We've talked about have a junior deacon ministry or figure out ways for these young kids to serve alongside the deacons and see this is a joy in the church and in my life is to serve Jesus and his people by doing things that nobody else wants to do, but to do them happily.
Here's an idea. I like the idea of a widow's banquet. So every year around Valentine's Day, maybe look at having a widow's banquet where you invite all the church widows to a meal, and maybe your deacons and their wives prepare the meal, but you let the children, the teenagers, them serve the meal, and this is important, let them clean up afterward.
Yeah.
Let those widows see these 12, 14-year-old boys and girls wiping down the table, cleaning it off. I mean, and letting those young people serve those older people.
That's a
and
great
idea. And even when
idea.
You're doing just a regular fellowship meal, man, just ask some of those young people, hey, would you mind wiping down the tables and doing some of this? Honestly, they really want to be used.
Yeah.
And they
They'll step up.
Now they may not do it at home.
Yeah.
And your parents may say, they don't do that at our house. But it's exciting to see them do it at the Lord's. And then affirm them for it and all that kind of stuff. Right?
Okay, the last one, number 7. And this kind of goes along with one he said earlier, but reach out to the younger children. And his point here is that as teenagers, and you remember this, when you're a little kid, you look up to teenagers.
You do.
You just do.
Don't ignore them.
They think you're cool. They think you're funny. And just helping teenagers get a vision for that and to be models, to be, in a sense, a mentor to these kids.
Well, that's why an intergenerational church is so important. So you think about everything we just said, guys. If you are you've got to be intentional about this. Jill and I were at a hockey game the other night, and there was a middle school group that came out and sang the national anthem. And they sang it really beautifully. Mm. I mean, the harmony was great. They'd obviously practiced it well. But when they were, bless their hearts, when they were walking back to their chairs off of, and they didn't have to walk on the ice because they had carpet down, so it wasn't slick. Yeah. They just walk awkwardly. I mean, when you're a 12, 13-year-old boy, you're just awkward. You're not really a man. You're not really a baby.
Your body's doing weird stuff.
And then, and when you're a 12, 13, 14-year-old girl, you're not really a woman. You're not really a little girl. And I just looked at them. I thought, you know, they're walking kind of awkwardly. They don't know what to do with their hands. They don't know whether to giggle and act like kids or to act like cool adults, you know? And so you get this kind of multi-generational thing going, and you know, again, sort of that middle generation, those middle schoolers can be a little bit awkward at times, but when you've got all those generations in there, then you've got the younger people. So those 12, 14-year-olds, they can interact with some 5 and 7-year-olds, and those 5 and 7-year-olds think those 12 and 14-year-olds are really cool.
Oh, yeah.
And then you got some 16 and 17-year-olds, and the 12 and 14-year-olds think they're really cool.
Yep.
And the great thing about multi-generation is they look up to them.
That's right.
So if the 17, 18-year-old, this is what I'm trying to say, so hope you're still with me. If the 17 and 18-year-old is serving at church, reading scripture, wiping down tables, greeting people, trust me, the 12 and 13-year-old is going to want to do that. Mm-hmm. And trust me, the 5 and 6-year-old is going to say, when I get big enough, I want to do that.
Totally.
You create a culture of that.
Yes.
Likewise, if you have a culture where the 12 and the 17, 18-year-olds just sit back on the back row and cross their fingers and cross their arms and don't do anything, that's going to be cultural.
That'll be the culture. Yeah.
All right.
So good. So good. So 7 ways the teens can contribute when the church meets. Let me just review these. Greet people. Number 2, help young parents with their kiddos. Number 3, participate in the worship gathering. Number 4, speak up in Bible studies and prayer meetings. Number 5, give financially, the joy of giving. Number 6, serve in less glamorous ways. And number 7, reach out to the younger children.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.